Let's go to the rural news now with Kim Moody in Ototahi. Kia ora, Kim. A promising start to the olive oil harvest.
Kia ora, Max. Yeah, despite some very wet weather, growers are optimistic about this season's harvest. Leafy Ridge Olives manager and grower in Wairarapa, Craig Leafright, says the weather's thrown growers a curveball.
Sometimes the trees can give you a nice surprise and that more comes off the tree than you expect. Depends on the season as to how well they come off, how quickly they ripen. We've had a lot of rain in the Wairarapa since December and then on and off since then. And that's kind of skewed things a little bit for people. Some people thought that their fruit was ripening earlier. I think it's probably about on par, or maybe some people even believe it should be a little bit later. The thing is, the colour of the fruit is not always the best indicator of the ripeness. You've got to look inside the fruit.
Leafy Ridge hasn't started harvesting yet, but has been pressing for smaller growers. Their presser, Bill Hay, who has 15 years' experience on the job, says the harvest has been smaller than previous years, but he's been pleasantly surprised.
We expect that, being such a wet summer, that the fruit would have a lot of higher moisture content than it's actually got. So consequently, we are getting quite good oil returns. Whether that's got something to do with being a wetter summer, even though the fruit appears to be still quite green, we are getting quite good oil returns, which is a good sign for the ones who leave their fruit on the tree a little bit longer. They should get some quite big surprises with the oil returns you're going to get this season, I believe.
Bill Hay says more sunshine in the region is supercharging the fruit's growth, and he expects that growers who leave their fruit on the trees for a few more weeks will get a good payoff.
Even though their crops are down a bit this year in quantity, they're going to be up a bit with the oil return, so in some ways it costs them a little less to get their oil processed, but they get a similar amount of oil back, so that's good for the growers.
Bill Hay from Leafy Ridge Olives. A just-released report into how New Zealand could reframe its food and fibre sector shows there's plenty of opportunity to adapt, but change needs to happen now. Food and fibre think tank Te Puna Whakaaro Nui has just released the first of four reports looking at opportunities in the sector. Group Chair Lane Jager says food production is being impacted by the pandemic, inflation and the war in Ukraine. He says as food becomes more vital than ever, it's a good chance to make improvements.
The first idea, we should absolutely commit to environmental excellence across all of our sectors. Now, we're well down that path, but really adopting the language of excellence, measuring what we're doing, ensuring we've got aligned incentives, and being proud of what we're doing with our land and our waters, farming in sympathy with our land in a uniquely New Zealand way. So that's about te taiao. That's one opportunity. Supporting that, it's hugely important that we're aligning incentives and investment and policy to optimise those rates of innovation. So all of that is about enhancing our current sectors and really just embracing what we're doing in natural foods, recognising its our strength and striving to do that even better.
Lane Jager hopes the report will be used as the base to start an informed discussion in the sector. Rural shareholders of a Waitaki irrigation scheme are nervous their water bills will go up after their supplier was put into voluntary administration and receivership. The Kurau Duntroon Irrigation Company has been laying about 60 kilometres of piping for the last 3 years from the Waitaki Dam eastwards. The upgrade was initially estimated to cost $45 million, but receiver Brendan Gibson says it's now expected to cost more.
Irrigation company couldn't afford at the moment to pay for that and doesn't believe that number is right and want to go into an arbitration process to get the right number and then work out how it's going to fund that.
Mr. Gibson says he's working with about 30 shareholders whose farms rely on the water and they're concerned.
They're concerned about what's going to happen. We're trying to allay those concerns to say, look, the irrigation scheme will keep running. It's just about how much they are going to have to pay for it.
Creditors will meet later this week. Fonterra is set to release its forecast milk price for the next season tomorrow, with a record opening price expected. Rabobank has announced a farmgate milk forecast of $9 a kilogram of milk solids for the season, which starts on the 1st of June. Agriculture analyst Emma Higgins says demand for dairy remains high and production is down, but the market is still volatile.
On the demand side of things, our major key market, China, is still working through lockdowns. And if we try to measure it, we know that around 35% of the Chinese GDP is under lockdown at this point in time. So there's some significant downside risk here with our major import markets under a lot of uncertainty around movement going forward. And the second thing is really the uncertainty of how the Ukraine war will play out. We have seen the impacts of high input costs already since the war broke out in February, and we're expecting to see that continue across the course of this year.
Emma Higgins says if Fonterra does open the season at the $9 mark, it would be a record price. And lastly, farmers are being warned they may have to join the queue to have their lambs processed this winter as lamb kill rates tighten nationwide. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says some farmers are keeping their lambs in the paddocks for longer as mild conditions promote grass growth, but she says that could have knock-on effects in a few months.
If this trend continues, though, the slowdown in slaughter rates now could potentially lead to a slaughter capacity crunch midwinter, mainly through the North Island, because processing plants are set to juggle peak bobby calf processing with increased lamb numbers and just the ongoing everyday staffing struggles, which has the potential to create processing backlogs through that period. Those that move early to either process or secure space through that period may just find themselves relatively sheltered from what could eventuate.
That's Mel Crode, and that's the Rural News for today. Koe rā te porongo, o tētai whenua.